Thank you. Now, Pastor, Brother Chick.
Okay, Matthew chapter 14. I just got heard from Tony that Jennifer, you know, had surgery on her ankles this past week. She fell, and she hurt it. And let's pray that she didn't do any damage to it. She's our police lady. She came to see me one day, and she was in her uniform. And I said, I never got to hug a policeman before. Can I give you a hug? And I got a hug from her. I said, I've been hugged by a policeman other ways, but not that. No, I haven't. No, I really haven't. But keep her in prayer, okay? Hey, we're going to be talking about get out of the boat, you know? Just get out of the boat. And we're talking about faith, and we've been talking to you about faith. And so we'll start there in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit! And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. I love that story. Father, now be with us that our hearts will be open unto your word. Lord, we ask that you fight the devil for us. Only let he, the Holy Spirit, have control of this service today. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for all great things accomplished in your house today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Jesus had just fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. I mean, things are happening, amen? And when you get around God, things happen, amen? I tell you, I love being around the church and around God's people because something exciting is always taking place. This last week, we were able to see a man and a lady won to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I give God the praise for that. And we're seeing people saved, just not on Sunday mornings, but Sunday nights, but during the week also. And it's because you are out there telling people about the love of Jesus. Amen. And so we see the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and the multitude fed. And there's two things you can learn from it. First of all, nothing is too hard for God. How many can remember that? Nothing is too hard for God. Number two, little is much when God is in it. What is 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes for so many? Well, when God's in it, it's a feast, amen? It's plenty. Now, at the end of this time, Jesus constrains his disciple to get on the ship, and they did not want to go without him. I can see a little child getting ready to go to school, and mom and dad say, okay, now get on the bus, go to school. I don't want to go. Now, honey, we talked about this. Get on the bus. I don't want to go, you know. Don't make me go. And I see the disciples this way. Said, I don't want to get on that ship. And you say, well, why don't you want to get on the ship? Last time we was on the ship, things went bad and we thought we was going to die. We had to come down there and wake you up. Remember Matthew chapter 8? And you got up and you spake to the wave and all of a sudden the wave quit and everything was okay. Now you're trying to put us back on a boat again and you're not coming with us? How many's ever been in a car wreck before? Boy, I tell you what, if you've ever been in a car wreck, you get back in the car, things are a whole lot different, amen? If you're a passenger, you'll see a car coming, and you're sitting there trying to put on the brakes for the driver, amen? Come on, man, stop! It's okay. No, I've already been in a wreck, you know? And so we see this. We don't want to go. He said, no, I want you to go. I'm going to send the multitude away. And so he sends the multitude away, and Jesus did what he needed to do. He needed to be off by himself a little bit, amen? He's God, but he still had communion with his Father. He still took time out to pray and to recoup his body a little bit. Well, we see that the thing that they were worried about is actually something that happened again. The ship started being tossed to and fro because of the waves. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I don't like boats. I'm going to tell you, I don't like ships. I don't like to, I don't plan on going any cruises, okay? I mean, you go on a cruise, you're going to get sick anymore, it seems, amen? Or they'll run aground and flip over and all this other stuff. I don't like being on ships, so I can feel for them. I have empathy for them. And the older I get, the more I don't like to fly. My arms get tired. I just don't like it anymore. And I just want to stay here, you know. I'm one of those homebodies, much to my wife's regret. I just like staying here. I like being around church and stuff. And they just love being around God. And he said, no, I'm going to put you on the boat. I want you to go ahead of me and everything. Well, we see in this Matthew chapter 14 and verse 24 that the ship starts to get thrown, being thrown around. And I can imagine their hearts sinking. You say, well, these are fishermen. Folks, I don't care how long you're on the water, there's coming some time that it's going to scare you. How many ever watches those people who go looking for crabs? How many ever seen that on TV? Man, I have seen on that TV where another ship went down. How many saw that? I'm not going to go check crabs out. If I want to eat crabs, I'm going to go to a restaurant, amen? I'll let them go out and rest their life. Because the waters, they become restless. They become crazy. One time my friend and I, he had a Bayliner boat, and we went out here to Sooner, and we were fishing along. All of a sudden, I said, where are the two towers at? He says, I don't know. Oh, my. We're clear across the lake. I thought we was going to die before we got there. The boat was taking on water. The bilge pump was putting it out, but it was coming in faster. We couldn't see. We go down in one of those Sooner Lake, and everything disappeared. It gets bad, you know. I was looking for a straw. You know, do something to help that bilge pump. Well, we see that these men begin to be shaken because of the water, and the ship's just doing what the ship does, and man, things look terrible. Things are horrible condition, and we see that there seems like, again, there's no hope, but this time they can't go down into the bottom of the ship and wake the master, because the master's not there. I can hear Peter say, I told Jesus I didn't want to get on this boat anyway. Amen. James said, man, I didn't want to go either. I just want to stay with Jesus. You know, what is it? And they were frightened. They were scared. And it became about the fourth watch. Now, there's two different kinds of watches. There's the Jewish watch, and there's the Romans watch. The Jewish watch at night is three watches, and it makes up 4 hours. But Matthew gives us the Roman watch, which there's four watches that make up 3 hours. So the time now is sometime between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m., okay? And I tell you what, that seems when it's the darkest, right there in that early morning. And so they've been tossed to and fro, and they feel like all hope is gone. And all of a sudden, Jesus appears to them. And as Jesus walks to them, they look out. And they see him coming, but they can't make out who it is. And so they start supposing it's a spirit. Oh, a spirit's coming after us. Not only are we in this water and we can't control it, now a spirit's coming after us. You know, all hope is gone. And 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 God was just coming to take care of business, amen? The Bible didn't say Jesus played with them a little bit, you know, put on a suit, ooh, you know, let's see how scary I can make you, you know? No, no, no. When he saw them and saw their plight, he comforted them, amen? He comforted them. He was their comfort. He said, it's me. It's Jesus. I know right then their hearts became comforted. I know they were so happy when Jesus was in sight. My folks, as we study these things, we understand the chaos of the world. Amen? We understand the frustrations and the shaking sometimes and how the world wants to shake even the foundations of God. But let me tell you something. The God's foundation stands sure. Amen? It will not shake. We see these men, and I can imagine as they talk, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. They were happy in the boat. And I see Peter, he doesn't even want to wait till Jesus gets there. The Bible, as we read this morning, that Peter asked the question. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. You know, we give Peter a hard time. And preachers give Peter a hard time. And Christians give Peter a hard time. They say, well, this is a story of Peter's failures. Peter gets out of the boat and he begins to become heavy, loaded with the things around him, and he begins to sink. And boy, they give Peter a hard time. But let me tell you something about Peter. He's the only one willing to get out of the boat, isn't he? I can imagine him crying out, Lord, if it be thou, if it's really you, beckon me to come unto you. This is just like children today. When children get scared today, do children wait on the parents to get to them? Huh? Not my kids growing up. When they're scared, boy, I tell you what, they'd be in their little pajamas at nighttime if something scares them, and they could holler out for us, but the hollering was happening while they was moving closer to us. Amen? How many understand that? Think about it, adults. When things are going bad for you in your life, what do you do? Don't you run to Jesus? Don't you run to Him maybe through prayer or through Bible study? Don't you run to Him? You want to shorten the distance between Him. And that's what Peter was doing. He just wanted to shorten that distance. God, if it's you, let me come to you. You think about it. Now this is, I want you to think, he was in the safety of the ship. You say the ship was being thrown, but the ship wasn't sinking. He had the comfort of being inside the ship. But Peter wanted to be where God was at, amen? And so what did Peter do? He stretched his faith out, amen? He jumped out of the boat to go to Jesus. I like to think about all aspects of this story. I think about the disciples who were there with Peter. And Peter says, I'm going to go be with Jesus. And I can hear the disciples, you're crazy, man. Don't get out of the boat. He's coming. Just wait. No, I want to go be with Jesus right now. No, just stay here. He's going to be here in just a second. I can't wait. I want to go where Jesus is at. The other disciples weren't willing to do it. You know why? They wanted to stay in the comfort or the safety of the ship. And I can see Peter getting out of that ship. And people, when we're talking about the ship, we're not talking about the ships of today. These were just big boats, what they were. I see him crawling out over the edge. I can see that old Billy hanging on, amen? And him edging off until trying to get his footing. That's crazy. You're going to get footing on the water? When Jesus is there, you get footing on the water. Amen? And I can see him going there, and that ship is being tossed to and fro, and he's hanging on it, and he's getting his sea legs, literally. getting his sea legs, you know. And he's sitting there and he's going. And so he starts taking steps out. He's starting to take steps out. Every step he took was another step of faith. Amen. He took that step of faith. And I can hear those disciples, "Don't go, Peter. Don't go. Don't do it. But the master told me I could come." Amen. He said it's okay. And so as Peter goes to Jesus and he goes to him and he's making his way to him. And I think about that call that Jesus cried out. He said, "Come." He said, "Come." You know, I think about our God. Our God has never refused a soul. Our God has never refused an individual. No, not one. He made the cry on the cross a call, "Come unto me." Amen. I remember the book of Matthew. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Amen. He's the one that calls to creation, his creation, "Come unto me." The people are sitting back and saying, "Well, no, I don't want to come to you. I'm just happy where I'm at." Friends, we've got to go where God's at. We've got to go where he's at. So God, yes, said, "Come unto me." Peter wanted to get to him as fast as possible because I believe he thought that's where safety was going to be. I think about Peter's faith and how he went beyond his safe place, as I just said, beyond his comfort zone. And I think we as a church need to move beyond our comfort zone, folks. We know we love God. We know we appreciate what he's done for us. But sometimes as Christians, we become comfortable where we're at. How many understand what I'm talking about? You say, "Well, I'm just not an outgoing type person." If you have Jesus in your heart, you need to get outgoing. Amen. I believe that we need to leave the comfortable position to stretch out our faith, to share our faith with others. Amen. I tell you, I was at a mission conference Wednesday night. I wanted to go see what was happening, And I can't remember the name of the town. If you want to know, ask my wife, because for some reason I cannot remember the name of that town. And I walk in there. I walk into that blessed church, and the people there are nice, but they're just not friendly. They're comfortable sitting in their chairs and comfortable giving everybody a nod. We don't need to give people nods. We need to give them handshakes, amen? We don't need to give people a wink. We need to go over there and tell them how much we love them and appreciate them. And I walked in there and I sat down, and one of the guys came up. He says, "Are you a missionary?" I said, "No, I'm not." "Well, you look like you're ready to preach." I said, "Do you want me to?" "They didn't know who I was." "You want me?" "No." "Okay. Well, don't offer." Amen. Went through that whole church, walked out the door, got a lot of nods, but nobody came. It made me feel welcome. Folks, we have got, and we have always, but we have got to let people know that we love them and we want them to be with us. Amen? Amen. It's important to know that as we go through our community, that there is a church that loves them, loves their soul, and wants them to be prepared for heaven. We got to get out of our comfort zone. You say, "Well, Brother Terry, we're just happy where we're at." I'm never happy where we're at, because God's got higher and greater things for us. Amen. Half of our church went fishing today. I don't know where they're at, but by the end of the week, we're going to know. Amen. You say, "Well, it's none of your business." Of course it's our business. We're here to do the work together. Amen. One of our members said, "Did you get a call from NORAD all night to last night? Kept beeping." I said, "No, I didn't. I threw mine away. Kept waking me up in the middle of the night." He says, "They're probably sleeping. Couldn't get any rest last night. Promises of storm and no storm." But folks, we got to take ourselves out of the comfort area, because people are leaving this life without Jesus, and that destination is hell, and hell alone. People said, oh, you shouldn't talk about hell. Let me tell you something. It's as real as heaven. They need to know there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. They need to know there's a Savior. What's He saving us from? He's saving us from hell and the lake of fire. What's He saving us to? He's saving us to heaven and then the new heaven and then the new earth. Amen. They got to know this. Well, we'll let somebody else do it. Why? When God's called us to do it. We got to get out of our comfort zone. I think we need to get out of our comfort zone about the services. Some of you are comfortable at your house when you need to be in God's house. Amen. Say, well, I come to church on Sunday morning. What about Sunday night? What about Wednesday night? You know, the numbers of the congregation shouldn't change from Sunday morning to Sunday night to Wednesday night. Really? But I'm so comfortable in my chair at the house. Hey, we need to be comfortable in the pews here, amen? We need to come here and fellowship and study God's Word together, be inspired, amen, from His Word. We need to be inspired by His love towards us, that we can inspire somebody else to come to Jesus, amen, before we expire. So we have this. We need to extend our faith in our offerings. You say, oh, now listen, we don't talk about offerings very much around here. You guys are pretty good about offerings, but we need to extend our faith in our offerings. You say, oh, but if you saw my budget, you know I couldn't afford an offering. If you'd put God first in your budget, you would have enough money for your budget. I've had people say, I don't get it. I don't have any money to pay my bills yet. I give God what belongs to Him, and at the end of the month, I have a little bit of money left over. Remember, little is much when God is in it. Amen? Do you remember? Nothing's too hard for God. We need to increase our faith. We need to stretch out. We need to get out of the boat. We need to put God to the test. He's up for the test. Amen? We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful. You say, well, Brother Peter got out of the boat and he started walking. And as we read this morning, he failed. Let me ask you something. And I like voting around here while we preach. How many has ever failed since you got saved? Come on. How many has ever failed? Come on. Do I have to do my two hands and a foot again? We've all failed, haven't we? And people make such a big deal and put so much emphasis on the failure of Peter. But let me remind you, he was the only one that got out of the boat. What was his problem? Well, he was walking. He had his eyes on the Lord. And as he was walking, he began to notice the wind. He began to notice the things that happened around him. That's what took his eyes off the Lord. My friends, as you serve God in your life, there's something that's going to take your eyes off the Lord. But it shouldn't let him take your eyes off the Lord very long. Amen? There's always something whirlwinding around you. Maybe it's a crisis at your house. Maybe it's a crisis at your job. Maybe it's a crisis in your family. You don't have control on it. It just pops up. That's when we keep our eyes on God. You know, we decide what we have our eyes fixed to. How many understand that? We choose it ourselves. Peter, he could have ignored the wind. Truly, he could. Peter could have ignored the waves coming up and slapping him around. Truly, he could. But he got his eyes off the Lord. But you know the great thing about this is God did not let him sink. He looked and fixed his eyes immediately on God and he said, save me. Now this wasn't a salvation of the soul. This was a salvation of the mess that he found himself in. And let me tell you something. He didn't wait for a week before he cried out, Brother Zach. He didn't wait for 10 minutes, nor did he wait 2 minutes. But immediately he cried out, God, save me.
When we do stumble, when we do fall, we don't need to wait around. We need to look up to God and say, God, help me. I took my eyes off of you for a second. Forgive me. Help me. And you know what? The Bible said this, and I want to go back to the Bible. Let's see what Jesus did. In verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Immediately. God wants fellowship with his people. He doesn't want it to delay. We come to him, he comes to us. We ask for mercy, he provides us mercy. We ask for help, immediately he helps us. Immediately he begins to do his work to take care of us. You see, my friends, Peter failed, but God was there to pick him up. We see that as he picked him up, let's see what Jesus said. He says, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Some people want to say that Jesus spoke in a discouraging type manner. Some preachers I've heard get up and say, well, Jesus looked at him in disgust and says, O thou little faith, why do you doubt all the time? But you know what? I don't think Jesus did that. Some people say, well, he screamed at him, oh, you're faithless, little rascal. When are you ever going to learn? I just fed the 5,000 in front of you. No, I don't think he did that. Brother Mike, Sister Heather, I see Jesus picking him up by the hand. Peter, bless your heart. I love you. How little is your faith? Come on up here, bud. I can see him putting his arms around him, can't you? I can see him now, both of them walking back to the ship, to the boat. And I can see Jesus talking to him. I can see the men on the boat seeing Peter sinking, saying, well, I told you he was going to fail. Can't you see that? Look, Peter's sinking. I just knew he would sink. It's what a lot of people do when Christians fail. Oh, I just knew they wasn't going to last. Let me tell you something. If you get you a better spirit about you and a better love in your heart and more prayer for them, they'll fail less. Amen? Help them up. Throw them a life raft or something. But I see him taking him, Peter. And again, you got to remember, Jesus is training him. Who's going to be one of the big leaders when Jesus is gone? Peter is. Peter, little faith. He had enough faith to get out of the boat, but he got his eyes off the Lord. Peter, you've got to have faith. I see them now as they come closer, draw closer to the boat. I can see all the people's eyes on Jesus and Peter. I can see Peter happy because he's in the arms of his Lord. And let me tell you, there's no better place to be as a child of God than in the arms of the Lord. But I also want you to know, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, there's no better place for you to be than in the arms of God. Say, well, how can I do that? The Bible says you must understand that you are a sinner and you have need of a Savior. The Bible says you must be godly sorrowful for your sin. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we need to confess our sin. Amen? And he's faithful and just. And he will forgive us of our sins and give us a new life in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us how to do it. But I see the two walking now towards the boat. Jesus immediately coming to his aid. And I can see Peter now grab hold of the boat and the arms reached out from the other disciples to bring Peter in. And I've always felt that Peter got to go into the boat first. Because if I was out there and I was Peter, I wouldn't want Jesus to go in first and leave me outside the boat. I think I want in the boat first, amen? It's like old Michael and the dog. We was out doing door visiting. And brother, you'll never live this down. And there was an old dog sleeping on the porch, and he was on a chain, and I knew it. I've been there many times. The dog would let you on the porch, but he wouldn't let you off. And we started walking back to the car. The people wasn't at home. We was going to encourage to come to church, and all of a sudden the dog started barking and coming after us. Old brother Mike, he did the brave thing. He sacrificed my body for his. Isn't that right, brother Mike? You'd do it again in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? He put me between, and I laughed because I knew the dog wouldn't be able to get to us as long as we stayed on the sidewalk. But I see Peter putting God between him and the sea, can't you? Him getting on the boat. Then I see Jesus getting on the boat. As soon as he touches his foot on that boat, the wind ceases. Aren't you glad your Savior's the one who controls the wind? I am. Then I look at the atmosphere of the boat. Where once there was terror, where once there was anguish, for once there was fear of life itself, we see a different atmosphere. Then they that were on the ship, after they got him on the board, they came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Folks, when are we going to understand and learn and be convinced in our heart that Jesus Christ, our Savior, is the Son of God? God the Son. He's in tune to us. We need to be in tune to Him. He knows our need. We need to understand our need and place Him in God's hand. Amen? You say, "Oh, but you know, Brother Chick, it's just so easy to sit back and do nothing." But my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, let me remind you of something. When we sit back and do nothing, Satan is having a heyday of dragging souls to hell. You know, God asked the question one time, "Who shall we send? And who will go for us?" My friends, today the question is still reverberating in heaven. Who shall we send? And who shall go for us? And if the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to you and your life, to me and my life, we ought to all stand and say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Somebody's got to get off their comfortable chair. Somebody's got to get out of their comfortable zone. Somebody's going to have to step overboard. Somebody's going to have to step out by faith. You say, "But what will happen?" We'll leave it in God's hands. Amen. What will happen? Souls will be saved. Hearts will be changed. Marriages that are about broken will put God back first in the home. And marriages will be saved. Homes will be saved. But we've got to get out of our comfortable zone. We've got to stretch our faith and let God work with us. And after He works with us, work through us. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed.